Welcome to Extra Credit, S&P Global Ratings U.S. Public Finance Podcast with Lisa Schroyer, a biweekly series that makes municipal market analysis mobile. Listen in as Lisa highlights S&P analysts' perspective on major public finance issues.
Keeping on our podcast themes, which have ranged from where in the U.S. is USPF to retirement roundup, we head to today's current theme, which may be the foundation of what drives social media, a Where Are They Now podcast. We're looking at credits that were once part of the Muni Sphere's daily discussion, but have since quieted down. So I ask our participants today, where are they now? I introduce you to a new co-host, Bobby Gajwani, a director in local governments with a past in charter schools and higher ed. Welcome, Bobby. What do you have for us?
Hi, Lisa. Joining me today are two analysts who cover credits with very interesting stories. First, we have Joe Pezzamenti, who's going to tell us about New Orleans International Airport, and Vic Medeiros, who will tell us about Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome to both of you. Let's get to it. Joe, we know that Hurricane Katrina had a devastating impact on New Orleans and its residents when it made landfall in August 2005. We will be covering the New Orleans Airport, which experienced a lot of transition over the years since then. So, Joe, where are we now with the airport?
Bobby, after several years, more than a decade of recovery, we rate the airport's general airport revenue bonds, also known as GARBs, A- with a stable outlook, which is still a notch below where we rated it before Katrina because of taking on a lot of debt to fund the construction of a new passenger terminal. We expect the new terminal to be done by the end of this year. The project entails the development of a new 972,000 square foot main terminal with 35 gates and roughly 2,200 space parking garage. In terms of activity levels, the airport has more than rebounded from pre-Katrina levels, with enplanements reaching about 6.5 million passengers in 2018, which is 35% above pre-Katrina levels.
So it's good to hear that enplanements recovered and then some. How did it get to that place, Joe?
Well, it did take a while, about 10 years later in 2014. After the airport experienced the 36% decline in enplanements from 2004 to 2006 due to Katrina, the airport experienced a steady recovery, except for 2009 when the airport experienced a 2% decline. We attribute initial drivers of demand to rebuilding and recovery efforts that over time were replaced with demand driven by more organic or intrinsic causes, such as tourism, education, and business. The combination of the city's unique tourist areas largely being unharmed from Katrina, the airport's geographic monopoly with no airports close to its size located within 200 miles, and its good airline carrier diversity, in our opinion, contributed to its recovery in activity levels. As activity levels rebounded, so did the airport's finances, with us upgrading the GARB rating back to investment grade, meaning BBB- in 2007, followed by further upgrades to BBB+ in 2008, and then A- in 2011.
What were the key issues regarding the initial downgrade post-Katrina?
The downgrade to BB from A reflected our view for the outlook for sustainable drivers of air travel demand. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, we saw a short-term decline of 70% in passenger traffic at the airport and high uncertainty about what the airport's resultant activity levels were going to be from the region's unprecedented flooding, destruction, and depopulation.
So when an airport loses 70% of its traffic, is it the airline that suffers or the airport or both?
Good question. In this case, the airport suffered since this shock was localized, not a national shock, like a spike in fuel prices. To encourage restoration of air service at the airport, the New Orleans Aviation Board approved a rate resolution to be in place as the region recovered. Under this arrangement, the airport left landing fees charged to the airlines the same, but changed the cost per enplaned passengers to a fixed rate of $8 for use of terminal rentals, use fees, as opposed to charging the airlines on a per square foot basis. This approach made airline payments to the airport comparable to what the airlines paid the airport before Katrina. The airport also did not enforce minimum annual guarantee provisions for the rental car companies, food and drink vendors, and news, gift, and specialty stores until passenger levels improved to a reasonable level. on the expense side to make operating expenses more consistent with the airport's lower activity levels, the airport laid off approximately 100 people.
Overall then, Joe, how did that impact finances?
Although the airport was able to pay its debt service and operating expenses, the actions I just mentioned were not sufficient to cover the lost revenues from lower activity levels, resulting in a structural imbalance. To ensure timeliness of GARB debt service or revenue bond debt service payments, the continued operation of the airport, management took other actions. These included deferring non-essential capital projects, utilizing other sources of funds such as credit facilities, insurance, and FEMA proceeds, and restructuring the airport's debt to simplify its capital structure, including refunding variable rate debt with fixed rate debt and terminating interest rate swaps. The airport returned to operating on a fully residual basis by 2009, following a steady rebound in employments driven by drivers of demand we considered sustainable.
Thanks, Joe, for this great update.
And now, Bobby, you may not know this, but both Joe and Vic are fantastic in-person speakers. And the last time that I got to be at a conference with them, I think Joe sang "Fly Me to the Moon" as he took the microphone to the stage. So I highly recommend anyone listening, if you do see their names at any conferences, make sure that you try to attend.
Well, I hope to see them soon. Now let's turn to Vic. Vic, can you tell us about Hartford, Connecticut, in the news daily just a couple of years ago? So Vic, where are we now with the city of Hartford?
Hi, Bobby, and thanks for having me on. 2 years after we took the rating to double C, we now rate Hartford's general creditworthiness at double B plus with a positive outlook, reflecting the financial deal with the state of Connecticut in which the state assumed Hartford's general obligation debt, which was a key factor in its distress. That stabilized the city's liquidity and provided the city budgetary flexibility and really a path towards stability going forward. The positive outlook reflects the potential that the city's overall financial position may strengthen, given its reduced debt burden, to a level we believe is commensurate with an investment grade rating.
I know it is still non-investment grade, but a lot higher than it was. So Vic, what were some of the things that helped it turn the corner?
Well, following our rating action to double C, and with the city threatening insolvency, the state in early October 2017 finally enacted a budget after a lengthy budget impasse that included roughly $48 million in additional aid to Hartford. This infusion of liquidity was necessary to stave off default, but more importantly, the enacted budget provided a mechanism for the state to provide the financial and technical assistance the city was in dire need of. So, in early 2018, the city was able to enter into a financial assistance agreement with the state, under which the state agreed to pay debt service on about $540 million of Hartford's GO debt through the life of the bonds. Freed from its ballooning debt burden, the city eliminated its past structural imbalance and gained the flexibility to invest in capital and service delivery in a sustainable way. In addition, the city was able to achieve concessions from its unions, which had proved to be elusive in the past, entering into a more cost-effective labor agreement. Finally, going forward, the agreement with the state provided considerable financial oversight to the city.
Wow. So the state took over the city's debt, and bondholders avoided default, and their bonds went from double C to A, equal to the state's rating. Is that correct?
Yes, for the general obligation debt holders. Although the state assumed the debt service on the city's GO debt, Hartford does remain obligated to support its annual lease appropriation bonds, previously issued towards the construction of the minor league baseball stadium. So while the GO bonds reflect the state's rating, because the state took on the debt, the city's lease revenue bonds hold a double B plus rating, which is one notch below the rating that we view the general creditworthiness to be. The notch reflects the annual appropriation risk associated with the lease payment.
So there has been improvement, and we aren't seeing the city in the news as much these days. What does the positive outlook reflect?
Well, the positive outlook reflects the lower debt burden of the city, giving it the flexibility to address future capital needs, provide necessary service to its constituents in a sustainable way. The outlook also reflects tighter management and financial controls implemented under the strong oversight of the state. In our view, the city's underlying credit profile, despite its economic and taxing challenges, has improved. And we believe there is a possibility that the rating could improve to an investment grade in 2 years, provided it continues to produce balanced operating results in accordance with its financial recovery plan that was signed off by the state.
So, given that things are going fairly positive now, could you remind listeners what were the drivers behind the multiple downgrades to double C from A between 2016 and 2017?
Yeah, sure, Bobby. During this time, Hartford was operating in a tight budgetary environment with limited revenue and expense flexibility. Despite being in a wealthy state, its own economic indicators are weak, and the tax rate is high for the city. Bobby, about 51% of the property tax base is exempt from taxes, since the base is mostly comprised of government and nonprofit entities. So there's a heavy tax burden on the residents of the city. On the expense side, during this time, costs were rising, and the city, with limited ability to raise revenues, had to rely on years of debt restructurings and kept pushing out principal payments to provide it the budgetary relief and balance. The old scoop and toss strategy. Eventually, it all came to a head in fiscal 17, facing a mountain of debt and continued budgetary gaps. City officials turned to the state for assistance. But the state had their own budgetary problems, so it was slow to respond. So later that year, in 2017, when the city publicly indicated it would run out of money and potentially miss their October debt service payment without any state assistance, and at the time, it did not appear likely, given that there was not yet any agreement on a bipartisan budget before October 1st, we had lowered the rating to double C, believing some form of distress exchange or restructuring was a virtual certainty.
Well, it's good to hear that that didn't happen. Speaking of where are they now, has anyone told you, Vic, you sound a little like Boston Rob?
Why? One, I am from Boston, and two, I'm a survivor, so... there you go.
Now turning it back to Lisa.
So now you know what happened to some of the most followed credits of the past years. And I thank you for listening to our Where Are They Now podcast. Make sure to tune in next time for our major rating action podcast. And thanks to our guests and guest hosts. And thanks for listening to this week's Extra Credit, S&P Global's U.S. Public Finance podcast. We want to hear from you, so please send us questions about credits, criteria, pensions, or anything else in the muni world. Email us at uspffeedback@spglobal.com. And that's uspffeedback, all one word, @spglobal.com. Thank you very much for listening. I'm your host, Lisa Schroyer. Until next time.
Fly me to the moon. That's about it.
To subscribe to this podcast, or if you're interested in any of our written analysis, head to spratings.com/US Public Finance. This has been Extra Credit, S&P Global Ratings U.S. Public Finance Podcast with Lisa Schroyer, making municipal market analysis mobile.